Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Thank you, guys. Well, hey, this morning we are starting week three of a series called Final Words. And how many know if you had a chance to write one letter to someone you love, knowing this might be the last thing you could communicate to them, your last chance to talk to them, how many would believe those words would be not just casual words? You would make sure those words counted, right? We're studying the book of 2 Timothy, and basically that is what 2 Timothy is. It is Paul's final words to a young man named Timothy. He was sort of like a son in the faith to the Apostle Paul. And the first words of Paul that we looked at when he wrote to Timothy, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, these words: to be careful to always stir up the spiritual gift that is inside of you. And we preached the last 2 weeks on a subject matter: don't lose your spiritual zeal. And we've had a lot of feedback on how God used that to transform some people's lives. And Jazz wants to come this morning and share her story. Would y'all make her feel welcome today? And she wants to share with you just real quickly how this series has helped her. So Jazz, thank you so much for being willing to speak to us today. And God bless you as you share with us.
I'm thankful and slightly terrified that Pastor Greg has given me the opportunity to speak to you all today. Some of you know that my name is Jazz, and I'm part of the worship team, and even fewer of you know that I was diagnosed with a common depression and anxiety combination, and that before last year, I never even had a church to call my own. So when I first started coming here, I was quiet and uninvolved. It was too new to me, and I didn't know how to talk to anybody. But the first thing that caught my interest with church was worship, and my passion for God and the assembly just took off from there. Since I wasn't raised in a church, I kind of always felt behind, like I needed to read the whole Bible and learn all the worship songs in one night. I had started to build my spirit again, which was broken before. Before, I couldn't speak to many people or be in big crowds or even stand on the stage and tell you all this today. Pastor Greg's series has really spoke to me because your zeal goes hand in hand with your spirit, and that has been my biggest battle. That's the first thing that my anxiety and depression targets. And if your zeal and your spirit is being attacked, it can start to change you and your daily life. So I'd like to thank Pastor Greg, my church family, and God today, because although most of you didn't know it, you all have helped me so much. And this series has really encouraged me to keep my passion burning and my spirit alive, because even on the bad days, God is always there for us, and He has given us the gift of tomorrow to try again. Thank you.
Hey, stay put for just a minute. Hey, man, Jazz, I want to say thank you for sharing that with us. And I want you to know that you encourage all of us. Your passion is contagious to everyone around you. And how many of you in this room understand that your passion is contagious to those around you as well? Amen? So let's all continue to stir up the gift of God inside of us. Thank you so much for sharing this morning. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with it to 2 Timothy. We're getting to the next set of final words today, and today I want to share with you a message simply entitled, Depending on the Faithfulness of God. Depending on the Faithfulness of God. Yesterday, we have some family in town. They'll be with us next service, and so three of our nephews and their older kids, I'm guessing the youngest is maybe 6, and the oldest might be 10 or 11. They were at the house, and we were swimming. And when I say we were swimming, they were swimming. And our 3-year-old was swimming with them. And the youngest of these visiting kids wanted to show off by swimming from the shallow end across the deep end. And he made it successfully, barely. And he was proud of the fact he swam across the deep end, and he began to cheer and celebrate, and we were celebrating with him. And our 3-year-old noticed that, you know, he received quite the applause from swimming across the deep end. And so she jumped in behind him with her life jacket, by the way. She jumped in behind him as she swam out to the deep end too, and she began to say, "Look at me, I'm swimming in the deep end." And you know, I pretended like I was impressed. So I clapped for her and said, way to go. And she stayed there for like 5 minutes, swimming in circles, wanting us to know that she could swim in the deep end. And as I was watching there, I was trying to decide, should I tell her that it's a little bit more impressive when her cousin does it because he's doing it without a life jacket and she's sitting there actually being sustained by someone else. I couldn't decide whether I should tell her that or not. And so I didn't. So if you see her after service, don't tell her that Dad was impressed but also a little bit unimpressed as well. But I was watching her swim and I kind of had the thought in my spirit, speaking about today's message, that sometimes that picture of a child swimming in water that's over her head is kind of, but being sustained by something else, is sort of what our walk of faith should be with the Father. I believe that God often calls us to swim in waters that are over our head. I believe he often calls us to situations that are out of our hands, that if we don't have the hand of God and the faithfulness of God sustaining us, we would sink. And most of us, we don't like that feeling. We like to be in control. We like to be in charge. We like to know what plan A, B, and C is, because the last thing we want to do is sink. The last thing we want to do is drown. And so we spend a lot of our life playing it safe instead of rejoicing over the fact that if we trust the Lord, we can actually see our life accomplish some things and survive through some things and even thrive through some things that are over our head. If we would learn to depend, like my daughter depends on that flotation device, if we would learn to also live a life that depends on the faithfulness of God. I want to say it to you this way. I believe each of our lives should be lived in a way that we are keenly aware without the help of God, we are going to sink. We are going to fall. We are going to fail. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read these final words from Paul this morning to Timothy. And he starts this discourse with some words you don't see on a lot of billboards today. We don't see this on a lot of church signs today. But here's what Paul starts. He starts with this phrase, "Join with me in suffering." How many of you saw that in the newspaper this morning or on Facebook? Join with me in suffering by following Jesus. It's not real attractive, but that's what Jesus says, or what Paul says. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight to all of this. Let me just push pause for just a moment. Have you ever been reading the Bible and it not really make sense to you? Or it not be meaningful to you, what you're reading? If so, I would challenge you to apply verse number 7 to your life. Paul says to reflect on what I'm saying. You know how the Word of God changes us? It changes us not just as we read it or as we hear it, but as we reflect on it as well. Paul says, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I will endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation. That is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Wait a minute. Did y'all catch that? The first few made sense, right? If we disown him, he disowns us. If we died with him, then we get to live with him. But the last part is the part I want to talk about, because this is sort of different. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I pray the next few minutes of time that you'll speak to us by your word, and that your word will change our lives and transform our hearts become more like you. So, Father, I pray you anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God and the words of God alone. Anoint our ears and our hearts and our mind to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise. And all the people in the room said, amen. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk about how we can live depending on the faithfulness of God. How can we live a life that is not limited to our own human ability? How can we live a life that is not limited to the world's constraints that they put on us? How can we live a life that breaks constraints, that lifts our limitations, that truly exhibits and sees the faithfulness of God? And Paul told Timothy this promise that if we remain faithless, he remains faithful. I want to define for you for just a moment what this scripture is saying. If we are faithless. Now, I don't think there's probably a faithless person in the room today. I doubt if you got up and came to church at the early service, especially if you are faithless, right? You had to probably set your alarm to get to this service this morning. Some of you had to get kids out of the bed, which required even extra effort. And so you're probably not here because you're faithless. And this scripture is not really talking about those that just have zero faith in the Lord. But what it is talking about is that all of us has days when our faith seems weaker than it ought to be. Amen? Right? This scripture is indicating to us this fact that our faith does not have to be perfect as long as our faith is in the one who is perfect. How many understand the difference of that? Right? It was Jesus who healed a man's son who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It was imperfect faith. It was Jesus who said, you don't need to have huge faith, but he had faith like a mustard seed that I can change your life. This morning, I believe that God wants us to live our lives. Jesus wants us to live our life. Paul told Timothy that we need to live a life that is depending on the faithfulness of God. And here's why, because the more you trust your life to Christ, the more of God's commands you obey, the more of his spirit you listen to and apply, the more of his faithfulness is going to show up in your life. I almost came up during that last song this morning because I know personally, and even us as a church, we are coming into a season, and I hope you've experienced this personally. I hope you've picked up on it as a church. We are in a season right now as a church where every single week, I'm amazed by God's faithfulness of what he's doing in this house and through this people and through this church. I mean, I was just bawling over here in worship this morning because we are surrounded by the faithfulness of God every single day. But I can tell you that has happened after a season of Brother John wondering, how am I going to make it through this day? Amen? How many ever had a day where you wondered, Father, I'm walking by faith, and I wish you'd turn the lights on, because this really is by faith and not by sight. How many understand? And no one celebrates that you're having to trust God completely. No one loves the fact that you're having to obey his commands and you see no reward. No one likes those seasons when you're just doing what you're doing because the last thing God told you to do is to this, and so I don't feel anything, I don't see anything, but I'm going to keep on doing this thing because I know what the Lord told me to do. None of us celebrate those seasons. In those seasons, we don't jump over the chairs or run the aisles or shout hallelujah near as loud. All we're doing is just trying to be faithful with what God put in our hands. But friends, if you can be faithful in those seasons, then beyond that season of being faithful to him, you're going to discover his faithfulness to you in a way that you cannot contain or describe or have ever expected. Amen? Today, you may be in a season where you say, Pastor, I just got up this morning. The fact I'm sitting in this chair in church is the biggest expression I can make that I still love God and I still trust God. Understand there's seasons where all you can do is just declare with your mouth, he is God and I'm going to serve him. That's as far as you can get. I understand there. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, the whole nine yards. But friends, if you will keep trusting God in that season, in the next season, there will be a season where where you are astounded and amazed by the faithfulness of God. And friends, we are entering that season as a church today. Amen. And I wish we could all, number one, I wish that only happened once. Right? Even as I talk about it, I'm a little bit, Lord, I'm really enjoying this season of your visible faithfulness. But I know there will be another season where we got to walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're coming out of a season of having to walk by faith and not by sight, and you're being overwhelmed by the faithfulness of God that is following you. And even when you look back in that season you're coming out of, you might be like Paul, and you might say, hey, even when I was faithless, even when there was fault in my belief system, even when I responded the wrong way and it wasn't perfect all the time, God's faithfulness to me is overcoming and overwhelming everything I've seen. Or perhaps you're going into a season where you're kind of blind about what the next step is. All you're doing is trying to follow God step by step. Either way, I want you to know, if you will keep following Christ, even when your faith may be not exactly what it ought to be, if you will keep expressing faith in Jesus, you will discover that He remains faithful. You cannot outrun or escape from the faithfulness of God. Now, all that was free. It wasn't in my notes at all, so we'll get back to what I'm supposed to be saying to you. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this. I am convinced that all of us need to live our lives where we are dependent upon God's faithfulness. What I mean by that is we need to all live our lives to some extent to where, Lord, if you don't make this happen, it's not going to happen. Lord, if you don't intervene in what I'm praying for is not going to happen. Lord, if you don't bless and anoint this step of obedience, then Lord, this is going to be a total waste of time and effort, because what I've discovered is following Jesus always takes us outside of our comfort zone, outside of our own supply and our own ability and what we would want to do. But friends, if you would follow Him into the things that are above your head, then you will experience Him sustaining you and Him providing you and Him supplying for you in a way that you would never ever be able to experience. When Paul says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful. He's not saying that from the cheap seat of comfort. He is writing that from a prison cell to where he ought to be depressed and upset. Instead, he is testifying to Timothy that God is faithful. So what do I do with this information? What do I do? How do I put on the life jacket of faith and allow myself to follow God into things that may be over my head or out of my comfort zone? I want to give you a few ways real quickly. Number one, the first way, if we're going to experience the faithfulness of God to a larger degree, is we must refuse to run from difficulty. Now, I know no one gets excited about, you know, I don't know, if I were to stand up today and say, hey, after service today, join with me in suffering. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Only the first 30 get to come. Join with me in suffering today after service. I mean, some of you may feel like you signed up for that right now. I'm sorry. But most people don't get excited about joining for suffering. But Paul's final words to Timothy, remember final words? Final words to Timothy was this: don't run away from suffering. Don't run away from hardship. Why would Paul, in his final words, say, don't run away from things that hurt? Don't run away from trials. Don't run away from hardship. Why would he say that? I mean, he loved Timothy. Surely he would say, run away from things that don't feel good. But instead, let me tell you why. It's because he has discovered that in the middle of hardship, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of following Jesus to the point that it hurt, in the middle of the pain of being faithful to God, he has discovered that God was faithful to him. And friends, if you will follow God to the point where it may even hurt, you will discover that God has been faithful to you. Not because you did it perfectly. We're all going to have moments where we are faithless, but even in those moments, God is faithful. So Paul says, don't run from difficulty, but even embrace it if that's what God is calling you to do. You know, I look over the Word of God and I ask myself this question, what caused the men and women in the Word of God to have this tenacity to follow the Lord even when things were difficult? Were they just stronger than I am? I mean, possible. Were they just more spiritual than I am? Probably. But what I really believe is that they were convinced that I can be faithful to God even when it seems out of my hands and over my head. I can be faithful to God even when it calls me into difficult situations I'd rather avoid. I can be faithful to God even when it puts me in contact with people I'd rather not talk to. Did you know that sometimes your following Jesus will call you to, it's going to cause you to love those who you'd rather not love and minister to those you'd rather not minister to? But Paul, and I believe some of the heroes of the Bible, discover that I can do what seems to be difficult even when I don't want to do it, because I've discovered that even in those moments, God is faithful. Let me just ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very little, I'm sorry, 1 being very little and 10 being over the top, how much of your life is dependent on the faithfulness of God? In other words, if God doesn't show up and help you today or this week, if God doesn't show up and help you in the circumstances you're facing today, would your remark be closer to saying, it's fine, I've got this? Or would your remark be closer to saying, I am sunk without the help of the Lord? Paul is saying, join me in suffering. Join me in living a life where I can truly say, if God doesn't help me, I'm sunk. Not because we're making unwise decisions, but because we're choosing to follow Him beyond our own ability. Here's the second way that we can experience the faithfulness of God in ways that are beyond what we're used to, in ways that are beyond what we've experienced before. And that is this: if you will honor your devotion to Christ above all else. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5 says this: anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Now let's just be honest. How many of you get excited when someone says, now here's the rules? Right? One of the reasons I hate playing board games is because there's certain people that before you play the game, they want to explain the rules. And I hate listening to rules. Anyone else? No, I'm the only rebel in the... Well, y'all pray for me. I'll get better. I've discovered every sport has rules. Some of you, if I were just to express some rules today, you would know what sport I'm talking about. Matter of fact, let's try, okay? I'm going to say a rule, and if you know the sport, say it out loud, okay? Let's see how familiar we are with rules. Okay, on your mark, get set, here we go. Play it as it lies. Man, y'all are some smart people. No hitting below the belt. No dealing from the bottom of the deck. What? Y'all all knew the answer. Why didn't you shout it out? I don't know. Three strikes and you're out. No sneaking money from the bank when no one is looking. Right? Some of you, you recognize the game by the rules you follow. We and others should be able to recognize faith by the rules we follow. Right? See, when you follow the rules of God's Word, when you honor devotion to Him, that's what devotion to Christ really is. Devotion to Christ is not so much about spending 45 minutes every morning in prayer and Bible study, though that is important and though that is devotion, but true devotion to Christ really is displayed after you leave your Bible study and after you leave your prayer and you go into the workplace and you go into the schoolyard and you go into the real world. Your devotion to Christ is testified by whose rules do you abide by there. That's true devotion to Christ. It's who are you listening to? Who are you trying to honor? And I understand rules aren't exciting. I've never told one of my girls some rules that they got excited about. Matter of fact, I've discovered most rules don't make sense the moment they're told to someone. Right? Don't stick your hand in a light socket. Don't play in the street. Don't run with scissors. I mean, you are a complete killjoy when you give those rules to a three-year-old. But but you give them anyway, right? Because you understand something that they don't understand yet. Honoring your devotion to Christ and discovering His faithfulness comes when you decide, you know, I'm going to listen to the Word of God and I'm going to obey it even when it doesn't make sense. Here's what I've discovered. I don't have to understand what God is doing to benefit from what He's doing. If we would just listen to the Word of God and apply it, then you're going to discover, not because we've done something perfect, but because we're following Him, that He is faithful even when we're faithless. Two more things I want to share with you this morning. Third thing Paul says is to commit your life to magnifying Jesus. He tells Timothy, listen, this is the one thing I preach, that Jesus is risen. And I think the King James Version says, Jesus is risen. The NIV, which is on the screen, says, remember Jesus raised from the dead. And Paul's actually saying two things in this scripture. His first thing he's saying is, number one, Jesus was raised from the dead. It's a fact. Jesus raised from the dead. But he's also saying, second point, he's saying this, Jesus is raised. Present tense. He is still risen today. He is still alive today. And Paul is reminding Timothy that every circumstance that he is living in is an opportunity to display to other people that Jesus is risen. Because every time God's faithfulness shows up in your life, one of the reasons God's faithfulness shows up to us is because it doesn't just prove to us, but it proves to other people that Jesus is still alive. I'll never forget one day I got to class a little bit early, and I may have told this story before, and two of our professors were talking, and we walked in, and one of the professors said to the other one, he didn't know I was eavesdropping, but he said, you know, the problem with some of these Christians on campus is this. They actually live like Jesus is alive today. I heard him say that, and I thought, well, praise the Lord. He's picking up on what we're putting down. Because we are to magnify Christ in such a way that it displays to the world that we believe and truly Jesus is alive. Here's the fourth point this morning. Fourth way we discover God's faithfulness is when we realize that nothing you do for Him is lost. Look at verse number 8. Paul says, this is my gospel, for which I'm suffering to the point of even being chained like a criminal. But I love these last few words. He says, but God's word is not chained. Can we say that last sentence together on your mark? Get set, go. But God's word is not chained. Listen one more time. But God's word is not chained. There are times when you're just trying to make it through life, and you feel like everything you're doing is met with resistance. You feel like your steps of faith are seen by nobody and make no difference. You wonder if God is watching. You feel like that your life is completely bound up and in shackles and chains. But I want to remind you that even in those moments, God's word is not chained. Some of you in this room, physically, you may not be able to do what you used to do. But God's word is not chained. you can still make a difference for the kingdom of God because His word is not changed. Some of you may feel like, well, Pastor, I'm not young enough or smart enough to do something for the Lord yet. I want to tell you, number one, that's false. Number two, it's not true because God's word is not changed. If you will simply say, Lord, here I am, use me, then God can use you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, verse number 58 says, to stand firm and let nothing move you. And to always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because we know our labor for Him is not in vain. Do you know the one thing that can chain the gospel for being effective in your life? There's only one thing. It's not an attack of Satan. It's not the circumstances around you. Only you can chain the gospel for being effective in your life. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? It's when we deny that, number one, God is greater than what we're facing. Number two, we deny God's activity in our life by taking things in our own hand. We relegate ourselves to the shallow end of the pool instead of following Him into the deep things of God. Those deep things, I'm not talking about some mystical thing out in space somewhere. I'm talking about sometimes the deep things of God is just giving out of faithfulness when it requires faith. Speaking to someone that you'd rather avoid, but the Spirit tells you to speak to them. Loving those who persecute you and praying for those who despitefully use you. All of those are things that require your confidence that I can be obedient in this area because God is faithful. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning as we get ready to pray. And here's the question today. Are you living a life that declares that I am convinced that God is faithful? Does your life declare that I am convinced that God is faithful? Because if you're convinced that God is faithful, then it gives you the ability to embrace difficulty. When God leads you to places that are hard. If you believe that God is faithful, it allows you to bring glory to Him in every season, not just the fun times. If you're convinced that God is faithful, then it gives you the power to honor Him when no one else is. To live according to a different set of rules. If you're convinced that God is faithful, then you can have complete confidence that nothing you do for Him is lost. It doesn't matter if one person sees it, if 100 people see it, or if no one sees it. If you're convinced that God is faithful, you can follow Him. Not in ways that are perfect, because none of us are. But you can follow Him with confidence, knowing that even when we stumble, even when we're faithless, even when our faith is faltering, God is faithful. I've asked you to bow your heads this morning because there's two questions I want to ask. The first question is this. If you're in the room today and you have never decided to follow Jesus, you've never placed your hope, the hope of your life, into Him. You've never depended on the faithfulness of God because you've never trusted your life to Him. You have kept the close grip on the reins of your life, and you want to be leading your life instead of Him because, like me, you like control. But today, the Spirit of God is challenging you to stop living life like that, to accept the grace of Jesus, accept His cleansing, His healing, and accept His leadership over your life. Today, say, Pastor, I need to do that. I'm not following Jesus, but today I need to start. Would you just lift a hand real quick? Says, me, Pastor, pray for me because I'm making that choice today. Secondly, this morning, believers, I want to ask us, how much of our life is being lived depending on God's faithfulness? Because the farther we follow Him, the more He's going to draw us away from the things that we can control and the things that we can handle. He's going to challenge us into some situations that require faith. And the only way that we can truly act in faith is if we truly believe that God is faithful.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.